This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, folks. Brazil 2014 is still going strong, and with that, the evening edition is giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the ground, offside in Brazil. Now, every Monday and Friday, we'll be crossing over to Brazil, where the Evening Edition's Brazil 2014 correspondent, Sanjeev Palar, he's there reporting on the ground. Sanjeev, the weather has been pretty hot here in KL during the World Cup. How are things where you are?
Oh my goodness, Ezra, what a question. I'm in my fourth city now. I started off in Sao Paulo. The weather was about 15 degrees there, 15 to 20. I got to Brasilia, it was about 20-ish. Then I went to Cuiabá. It was about 30-ish, and now I've just arrived in Porto Alegre, and right now the temperature is 7 degrees. So I'm not sure how the players are coping with this, because they play games in various different parts of Brazil. And every time they move around, because it's winter here in the Southern Hemisphere, the temperature changes drastically, and I'm sure this is probably one of their biggest challenges as well.
Tell us about Cuiabá. I gather it's quite different to some of the bigger cities you've been to where the games are being played.
Yeah, you know, I've had quite an interesting journey. Sao Paulo, big city, we all know about it. Brasilia, the administrative capital, it's also, you know, well-developed. And Cuiabá is like right smack in the middle of Brazil, just south of the Amazon area there. And it's really like going into the interior of Brazil, you know. But surprisingly, I mean, it is still very developed, I would say. You know, there's decent infrastructure, there's building structures, towns. You know, I was actually taken aback at how big and developed it is for a very, I would say, exterior. I should say, actually, for the interior part of Brazil, you know, I mean, I can only liken it to Malaysia. You know, when we leave our big cities in Malaysia, the outskirts tend to be very neglected and underdeveloped. I can't say the same for this part of Brazil, because it seems to me so far that everything is still developed, is still cared for. And I even took a 200-kilometer drive out to go to the wetlands, which is like an amazing area to see. And the roads were good, and there were no tolls. So that was quite a big surprise for me. But one sign that I did see that perhaps Brazil did fall behind in their preparations for the World Cup was actually the Cuiabá Airport. Now, they've obviously decided to expand the airport in preparation for the World Cup. But when I landed, the airport still looked like it was still under construction. You know, the expansion was not finished. It was still being renovated, so to speak. So we did talk about, you know, Brazil rushing to get ready for this World Cup. They got the stadiums ready. I must say that the Cuiabá Stadium is perfectly fine. You know, it looks fine. But it's the small things, the infrastructure that surround the games, like the airport, you know, projects like these were probably delayed longer and you know, they're still not finished and the games are already here.
Now, there have been some huge results happening on the pitch, but at the same time, the anti-World Cup protests still seem to be going pretty strong. From what you can observe, how is the media handling it, and is the coverage quite balanced on this issue?
Media coverage, you know, I can't read the Portuguese newspapers, but watching the news on TV, I would say that they cover it very fairly. The news starts off with news about the World Cup, and then it goes into the protests that happened in that city with regards to the World Cup. Then it goes back to the World Cup and it shows you a different city where goals were scored, who was the hero of the day, and then they go to the protests that are happening in the city or around Brazil at the time. So I'd say the media is really covering both sides of the story fairly. You know, they're covering the event that's happening, but they're also covering the side of the Brazilians that are protesting and are unhappy with the actual event. I wish I could really get into the context of how the news is framing the stories, but unfortunately my Portuguese is still not that good, Ezra, so I'm lacking in that department.
Fair enough. And will you be viewing another match live at the stadium?
Yep. Like I said, I'm right now in Porto Alegre. I just arrived today. It's been a long day of commuting. And I hopefully the sun comes out tomorrow. It gets a bit warmer and I'll make my way down to the stadium. I'll be watching the game here on Sunday where South Korea will take on Algeria. And I guess South Korea will be hoping to book their place into the next round if they win.
Well, irrespective of who's playing, I'm sure you'll be waving the Malaysian flag proudly at these venues. Safe travels, and we'll speak to you again on Monday.
Thank you very much. And the Malaysian flag is making me a lot of friends in the stadium, Ezra, so I'm going to definitely bring it along.
That was Sanjeev Palar, the Evening Edition's Brazil 2014 correspondent. He'll be there and around South America for the duration of the World Cup, sharing with us his insights and observations of what's happening on the ground. Check out his latest video, which features moments from the Russia-South Korea match, as well as footage of the post-match street parties. All of that can be seen at facebook.com/thesanjeevpalar. His Twitter handle is @SanjeevPalar. It's Offside in Brazil, right here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.